Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on October 15th, 2020, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. Doesn't it sound so nice in here? It is. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. Now, this podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features insight on the Senate confirmation hearings of Judge Amy Coney Barrett and Senator Lindsey Graham's Judiciary Committee. We look at the latest unemployment data and get perspective from state economists on what that data is telling us. And we learn about what you can do to handle pandemic-induced depression and excess drinking in our medical section. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on with you. You can even tell us about your election experiences. Who you voted for? How'd you cast your ballot if you're going to vote on election day? We want to know. And also, send us a selfie of you voting. Well, not of your ballot, but of your sticker, your I voted sticker, and just your experiences. We'd love to put it on our social media at SC Lead Pod. And again, give us a call, 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. And if it sounds a little different here, folks, it's because I'm recording in my dining room, not in my office. So just a little check there. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,405 deaths, and currently there are 155,799 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of October 16th at 4 p.m. Our current percent positive rate is 11.5%. Our current 7-day moving average for cases is 780, and deaths is 11. On Monday, we were at 735 cases, and we were averaging 14 deaths a day. So cases are going up, and deaths are still a little low, but if cases keep going up, we know what happens. Currently, 769 patients are hospitalized with COVID-19, 206 are in intensive care, and 98 are on ventilators. Now, those numbers have been heading back up since we last reported on Monday. And on Friday, DHEC announced it submitted to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services the state's COVID-19 vaccine plan. The overarching goal of this vaccination plan is the equitable distribution of the vaccine across the state based on the most current federal guidance and recommendations. During the initial stages of the national COVID-19 vaccination program, there will be a limited supply of the vaccine. That limited supply will be made available to certain identified groups, including frontline medical workers and nursing home residents. COVID-19 vaccine supply is expected to increase substantially and be more widely available to the public in 2021. And you can find out more information about this, including some frequently asked questions about COVID-19 vaccines, at scdhec.gov/COVID-19vaccine. It was a big week for Senator Lindsey Graham as his Senate Judiciary Committee oversaw the confirmation hearings of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. There were some awkward moments and plenty of unanswered questions. So to give us some insight, I spoke with Kirk Randazzo. He's a political science professor and the department chair at the University of South Carolina. He also specializes in judicial politics. I caught up with him on This Week in South Carolina via Skype and started off by asking him what we even get out of these hearings.
Well, you know, it's somewhat unfortunate that Judge Barrett and some others before her have invoked Ruth Bader Ginsburg and this so-called Ginsburg rule about not commenting on issues. What Ginsburg actually refused to discuss were cases that had already been appealed to the Supreme Court, and senators were trying to pin down how she might rule on those specific appeals. Ginsburg was actually very revealing about her overall judicial philosophy, how she felt about precedent, how she felt about issues that didn't have any pending litigation. And you know, appointees or nominees since her have kind of taken those words out of context and sort of taken things to an extreme. And right now, I think we have basically confirmation hearings that look more like a show or a circus kind of act than anything designed to reveal matters of substance.
And one of her biggest proponents, obviously, Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham, our state senator, big cheerleader there, really wanted to make sure this went through. We are going through. It sounds like they'll have a confirmation vote next week. What are your thoughts on how he handled this process and maybe some comments we heard from him? You know, he was even trying to interject some South Carolina politics in there when we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, when he was even brought up the fundraising by his opponent, Jamie Harrison, which was kind of odd because it didn't really have much to do. I don't think they were talking about Citizens United, but, you know, that's always right there, too. What were your thoughts on how Senator Graham handled this whole confirmation process?
You know, there were times that Senator Graham had some comments that were a bit confusing for me. One, right off the bat, he tried to sort of replay some recent history, and he lamented at the fact that these confirmations used to be bipartisan, that Ginsburg herself received 97 votes, that Scalia's confirmation was unanimous. And he tried to use that as a way to sort of lament at the current state of affairs, not necessarily realizing that the current state of affairs is really the result of some brazenly partisan politics being played by members of the Senate from both parties, not just from Republicans, although the Republicans, I think, you know, they're the current majority, and I think they bear responsibility for the current situation. But some of the other aspects that Graham tried to bring up that weren't necessarily related to Judge Barrett, like the Affordable Care Act and the fact that South Carolina is not getting money, but, you know, the states of California, Texas, and New York are getting a vast share of money, to then have another senator come back and say, well, you know, that's because South Carolina decided not to opt in to the Medicaid expansion. You know, I think Lindsey has been bringing some anecdotes into this process that are probably best left alone. And that doesn't even mention the gaffe that he had yesterday when he was talking about the good old days of segregation. Even though I think he meant that tongue in cheek and was very sarcastic, given the current environment and the political protests that have been going on, those comments, as sarcastic as they might be, sound incredibly tone deaf to people who are struggling for, you know, some kind of recognition of their rights. And I'm surprised that Senator Graham sort of went down those paths.
You can watch my full interview with Professor Randazzo and Professor Gibbs Knotts of the College of Charleston as we talk about the Senate race on This Week in South Carolina. The program re-airs Sunday at 11:30 a.m. It's also on YouTube at youtube.com/SouthCarolinaETV. So let's start off our economics section with some job numbers. Jobless claims for the week ending October 4th totaled 4,884, which was about 300 claims lower than the week prior. As of September 26, 75,968 South Carolinians are still receiving weekly benefits. These numbers continue to trend down, but that doesn't mean folks have found jobs, just that they're no longer or can no longer claim benefits. Dr. Joy Von Nessen, a research economist and professor at the University of South Carolina Darlamore School of Business, spoke Thursday during the South Carolina Board of Economic Advisors Regional Advisory Committee meeting and gives us some insight on how to make sense of these weekly job numbers.
Unemployment insurance claims are a good set of data to look at. They're a set of data that come out weekly, so it's a much more current metric to be using to gauge what's happening right now. But we have to be careful about how we interpret them. So the continued claims obviously going down, but that's a reflection of the fact that state benefits are capped at 20 weeks. And for those who are still unemployed, many of them are going on to federal benefits and not becoming employed yet. Now, why is that happening? We've talked around these issues, but a couple of comments I want to specifically emphasize here. Number one, we saw a spike in new cases back in July, which caused changes in policy and changes in consumer confidence. We've also begun to see the CARES Act money begin to run out, especially for businesses. PPP funds in particular, businesses were accessing those. As those run dry, businesses have to rely on market demand. In many cases, they don't have that option, and so they're having to lay off workers or scale back economic activity in a way that they hadn't had to up until this point. And then finally, we just see general upper limits on business activity in the short run, particularly in leisure and hospitality. And one way that we can see this ongoing, persistent, slow recovery and the drag on the recovery is to look at initial unemployment insurance claims. So another data set here that we can examine that come out on a weekly basis. And when you look at initial claims, overall, you take a first look at that graph and you say, well, that looks really, really good, right? Because initial claims data reflect layoffs, reflect newly laid off people. And you say, well, that peaked in April and in May, and it's come way down. So most of the layoffs are likely behind us. And while that's true, it turns out that we've really leveled off at an unemployment insurance claim level that is still over twice the rate that we were at, or twice the level that we were at back in February. So about 5,000 claims per week is what we're averaging now, plus or minus, and that was around 2,000 per week, plus or minus, before February. So this reflects largely small businesses, particularly those that we've talked about requiring in-person services to operate, that are still really struggling, especially as the PPP money is used and they run out of those dollars and are having to face market demand. So this is a continual drag on our economic recovery as we're looking forward.
Frank Rainwater is the director of the State Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Office. He said that revenues for the first quarter of the state's fiscal year, which is July to September, were up by $124 million. But that figure is not indicative of a trend. Rather, it's likely due to people paying their taxes by the July 15th extension deadline. Here's Frank.
We still have some carryover effect this first quarter from the stimulus. Not all the returns that were emitted on July 15th were accrued. Some came in after, some were just deposited or credited after the accrual date. So even though we're running ahead, it doesn't necessarily reflect the current year's activities. Is still tax returns normally would have gotten in April that didn't come in until August or something.
So we have some encouraging news right there on the economic front, but still plenty to watch for, including COVID numbers going up, the presidential race and the results, and any future decisions on COVID relief. In our medical section, Bobby Connor with Health Focus recently spoke with Dr. Joshua Smith about the increased rates of depression and alcohol use being reported during the pandemic. Dr. Smith is an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences, and he is the clinical director of the Center for Drug and Alcohol Programs at MUSC. He starts off by talking about a recent study looking at this problem.
There was a study that was done by the CDC at the end of June 2020, and basically it was a snapshot of how Americans are faring with the COVID pandemic. And what they found was that those Americans that were sampled reported depression. It had quadrupled compared to the same time last year, from a year ago, to 25%. And 13% of those Americans said they had actually increased their substance use due to the pandemic specifically.
What is known from prior research regarding the connection between depression and problems related to alcohol use?
Well, we've known for some time that depression and alcohol use problems are comorbid or co-occur with each other. And there's a couple of different pathways. One is that depression can lead to increased alcohol problems. And it's also true that increased alcohol use can lead to depression. But the key point is that regardless of which came first, the depression or the problem drinking, it's important to understand that when they do co-occur, that they become a mutually maintaining pattern. And that pattern can perpetuate and amplify problems in each area.
What kinds of practical tips can you suggest to help improve our mood right now?
It is important to focus on behaviors that will increase mood. For example, they can take time to foster important relationships, participate in acts of kindness, take time for gratitude. These are all things that data research has shown that are effective at improving mood and leading to a state of flourishing, which is what we're seeking. Also, developing a habit of exercise, developing habits that protect sleep, for example, putting the phone away at bedtime and not going on social media right before bed. Practicing self-compassion and also self-understanding that reaching out and asking for help is actually okay and can promote growth in important relationships.
Dr. Smith, what tips can you offer for someone who wants to reduce the amount of alcohol they're consuming right now? Where do they begin?
One of the first things a person can do is make a personal commitment to change and also to express that commitment to other people around them. Another thing a person can do is limit time spent in activities involving alcohol and also keeping less alcohol in the home. These are three things that can be really important.
And along these same lines, what about the importance right now of staying connected to friends and family?
One thing that we do know is that loneliness underlies both drinking problems and also depression. And so one way to combat loneliness is to spend more quality time with people that you love.
And given the pandemic, that might not be face-to-face. That might be on FaceTime or Zoom or some other virtual way to connect.
The pandemic has shown us all sorts of different ways to make connections with other people. And while it might not be the same, it is still useful. And in some ways, it gives us some advantages to do things over telecommunications that we didn't have before.
Thanks, Bobby, for that insightful report. And again, really important information right there, and a topic we have also talked about over and over again during this pandemic. Personally, when it comes to my alcohol consumption, I make sure not to use it as a crutch. You know, in times of stress or, you know, you're tired, I don't really go for the bottle at that point, folks, because it can slowly lead to a dependency situation, and I don't need dependency, I'll tell you that. Now, I may have a glass of wine in the evenings and a few drinks on the weekends, but these days it's always been in moderation for sure. Also, not going out on the weekends has really changed my view on drinking and a lot of things during this pandemic. So, some benefits there. Now, welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. How you're handling things. If you've contracted COVID-19, if you're working through this, or if you're claiming unemployment, if you're giving back to the community, or know someone who is, we're very interested in hearing from you at 803-563-7169. Leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and a brief message no longer than 3 minutes at 803-563-7169. AT, do we have any messages on our voicemail machine box? Email.
The box has some tasty, tasty messages.
Ooh,
still.
Cool.
This one here is someone we've heard from before, but we've never heard her voice.
Ooh.
She left us a great review and we read it, but here she is. She called in.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like someone from beyond the grave.
I wish. No ghouls. Still no ghouls on our spook line. Let's roll the tape.
Roll it.
Well, greetings, Gavin and AT. This is Lori from the middle of the state, the teacher assistant. I'm so glad you got a chance to read my review online because y'all deserve it. I truly meant it. I'm calling with an update. I haven't talked to you in the last couple of months, and I wanted to tell you how it's going. We started back at school in early September. We did what we call a hybrid model. That meant 2 days in class and 3 days online. Half of our campus was present, but our class sizes remained the same. So we had 23 students in the class. Well, how was it? In person was, you know, we had masks. We had desk dividers. We had tons of hand washing. We got to stay in our classroom for meals, and all of our related arts teachers came to us. Recess, we couldn't touch anything, but, you know, we had a few balls that we'd clean up afterwards. Kids were okay. Online, well, that was a little wonky. You know, our day usually looked like a lesson. We taught it. We'd give them a break. They'd do their independent work. They'd get lunch, which is, of course, at their own table at their kitchen. They'd get recess, which is probably in their own backyard. But, you know, the hardest part was probably trying to have the parents figure out the technology. There was a little learning curve there. But, you know, computer games for kids, even if they're learning, they're still computer games, so I think they probably liked it. 1 week ago, though, we went back to 4 days in person. So we are now only 1 day online. Honestly, I do prefer this. So I know you want to know, have we had COVID in our class? No. Campus size, we have 900 students, 102 staff. Well, guess what? We've had one case. Of course, we had to put contact tracing in place, and so that meant an entire class had to quarantine for 14 days. But just like you, I'm watching, seeing if it gets better or worse. All right, well, to wind down, I'm going to just briefly tell you about myself as far as a career standpoint. I've been teaching for 14 years. This is a second career for me. Prior to this, I was self-employed in the healthcare field. I owned a durable medical equipment company for a good 25 years. Unfortunately, with the recession of 2008 and the forming of the Affordable Care Act, way before anybody called it Obamacare, closed about 18,000 businesses across the United States just simply because the government decided that, you know, they only wanted to employ just but a few and pay just but a few. All of that definitely led me to politics. That's why I find your podcast so interesting, because I had no choice but to get involved in it to make sure that, or to follow how I get paid, because it was the government that was paying my bills. I've always served and I've always taken great pleasure in it. So, all right. Well, happy juicing, Gavin. Oh, and AT, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I'm a Steelers fan.
Lori, great to hear from you. We also still love your review on iTunes. Anyone can do it. Yeah. iTunes, it's there. Get it after it, just like Lori did. And again, also love hearing from our teachers. Thank you for what you do, Lori, and all the teachers out there. Also great to hear that only one student, one person out of 900 students had a COVID. So that's really great to hear. It sounds like everyone's being smart, showing that we can do it. You know, you can be in person, just be smart.
Yeah.
Like the officials keep saying.
I don't love, Lori, that you're going for my Eagles fan throat. That's rude. Very rude. You're kicking me when I'm down. The Steelers just beat the Eagles. The Eagles should have beat the Steelers. They blew it, okay? So you're lucky that we're so bad.
I have a Pennsylvania tie to the state. You know, I have family from St. Mary's, right in the middle of the state. So let's just call it a draw for everybody. No Pittsburgh, no Philly talk.
Go Birds. Whatever. Well, I also wanted to touch on one thing that Lori mentioned. She said that it's tough for the adults to figure out the technology.
Sure.
Yeah. And I can relate there. I'm 33. I'm not the oldest, but I feel myself getting older. I feel my body creaking.
The bones.
And the bones rubbing on each other. Creak, creak, creak.
Take collagen. That's what I do, but that's separate. Keep going.
Separate. You probably juice it.
No, God, no.
there's been a new thing in my life that it's just the epitome of me getting older.
Oh, God.
And that is...
This sounds serious.
It's very serious, and I'm embarrassed to admit to this.
No, share it here. Share it.
But share it. Share it, baby. recently, I've been getting my finger in the pictures I've been taking my phone.
Oh, my God.
It's awful.
Oh my God.
I thought that was exclusively for grandparents and people who bring their iPad into public. But here I am. I take pictures, and I'm like, is that my finger? What am I doing?
This is such a millennial thing. Very big throwback here. But just walk me through this. Are you taking your cell phone camera? You know, you've shot your 24 pictures. You're taking your cell phone camera to the pharmacy to get it developed.
I just hand them my phone and I ask.
They're handing it back to you and you're looking at the prints and you're like, oh my God, my thumb was in all these photos.
It's annoying though, because like I think I'm framing up a photo great. I'm a stickler for framing. I like it framed well. And I'll take it and in the moment, nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And then I'll look at it and in the corner, my thumb's in
it
or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? I'm embarrassed.
We gotta get you an iPad so you can just hold it by the sides.
Do you remember going to concerts and losers would hold up their iPad?
Oh,
or
yeah,
something?
They still do. It's like blinding. But yeah, I mean, those are the kind of pains that, you know, no one even thinks about anymore, right? You take that disposable camera or your autofocus camera and you'd have your thumb in all the photos.
I would,
and the whole thing would be gone. Now it's like, oh, there it is. Delete it. Take it again. You know.
But I've been noticing it like 30 minutes after I took the photograph. So like, you know
thing.
What I mean?
Yeah, I might
and
as
it's
well.
The type of stuff that like my parents would do that I would be like, well, at least I'll never do that. That's embarrassing. But here I am.
Oh, I mean, it's a vicious cycle, my friend.
It's a curse.
Yeah.
You're cursed to end up like your parents. I've noticed like, I'm starting to smell like my dad. Not in a good or bad way, just like my General Musk.
I really have nothing to talk about because I've just been dead inside the past few days working. Yeah. So this is very enjoyable for me.
Gavin's actually a ghoul.
I'm actually an apparition. Apparition right now.
Apparition.
I'm apparition right now. I'm just holding it together. I'm a pair of headphones right now.
Yeah, you're being held together by what? Floss and headphone wires that's tangled
caffeine,
up?
Caffeine, yeah.
Yeah, and caffeine. Woo-wee, woo.
When are they going to get a little app to tell you, hey, your thumb's in the picture. Move your thumb, bozo. I mean, it's just like, you know,
I wouldn't be surprised if it told me that, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's just that, it's that stupid. I don't know how. I don't know how this is, it's come to this.
Speaking of stupid, AT, let's talk about QAnon. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I love it.
Just kidding.
It's nuts to me that QAnon has gotten to the point where there's an AP style.
Yes. The style guide. Book has, like, they put an entry in there. I can read it, but it'd take forever.
I don't want to read it. I don't want to put that evil out into the world. It's so ridiculous. Oh, also, I just got my mail-in ballots in the mail, so I'll be doing that tonight. Mm-hmm. Let us know Richland how County. You guys are dealing with how you're voting.
Yes, I was just in Jasper County. They're voting, chugging along. I'm going to be up in Greenville County on Friday, so making my tour of the state, looking forward to talking to people. But, you know, you can come to us. Come to our voicemail box, 803-563-7169. And thanks again for listening to the pod, y'all. You can show us your appreciation like Lori and leave us a review on iTunes. We would love you for that so much. Stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Get a subscription, folks. That's where the news is, too. You can also become a member of ETV. Membership starts at $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport. And all that super programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I have absolutely no idea. You have to surprise me. I have to keep it fresh. I'm too dead inside these days.